and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on the program today. Our guest is Lafayette Mayor Tony Rzeworski, and we'd love to have your questions for him during this half hour. You can call us at 765-496-1999. You can send an email to ask@wbaa.org, or you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. You're pretty brave to wear a short-sleeved shirt with all this crazy weather we've been having.
Yeah, well, I've got a jacket with me, so I'm in good shape either way. But I'm glad I wore it. It's kind of warm in here today.
That's right. You're prepared no matter the circumstance. Yeah. Well, let me get right to some listener questions that have come in since you were on the show last. Patty has written in, and she says, please ask Mayor Rzeworski to provide some time frames on the many road closures in the city of Lafayette. She says, the live road closure detour map tells us what we have already discovered firsthand in our driving experience. I suggest more information could be shown when hovering over the closure icon on that map. She says, I realize there are many factors affecting timelines on projects of this scope, but even a fall of 2017 or mid-July estimation would be a welcome addition.
Well, we can certainly, well, first of all, Patty, thank you for your question, and thank you for your understanding. The question itself says she does understand about construction, because there is a lot of timeline variables, and already we have a couple of those with the amount of rain we've had in the last 3 weeks has obviously put some of the construction projects behind a little bit. We were actually making very good time, but we can't control the rain. And there are some other variables with utilities when we're dealing with, you know, Vectren and Duke and the railroads and different things. So we do try to look out 2 or 3 weeks if we can. We did at the beginning of the project talk about the big closure that was going to take place at the Sagamore Parkway and South Street intersection this summer. We talked about the big closure that would take place at the Kasu Street intersection for several weeks. And on the big ones, we do try to get that out. We do try to give windows sometimes because of either weather, different utilities that may or may not have got moved, problems that they might have run into. It can change those. But certainly, we can take a look at that website. I appreciate the input, and I mean that with all sincerity. If citizens out there, the people that are using those roads and those detours every day, come up with ways that we could provide that information to them better, that was easier to understand, or in a time frame that helps, we will. I just ask that everybody kind of be like Patty there and realize we could put something out and then have to change it. If it rains 4 days in a row, a closure could change because we couldn't get the pipe in, and therefore we can't move forward the next phase.
It occurs to me that I've never asked you, as we've been talking a lot about the Sagamore Parkway reconstruction and things like that, how the city interfaces with things like Google Maps or the Waze app that I know a lot of people use to try to judge how they're getting around from place to place. Does the city actively work with those folks to, first of all, to give them real-time information on traffic? Because I know that there are places in the world where they embed sensors in the road and you can tell how much traffic is there. But do you work with them, especially as you're reconstructing the road, so that real-time information is more available about the city?
Well, I think the Waze app keeps itself updated based on information that we put out. I really can't speak to Google Maps, and I can speak to it. To the best of my knowledge, no, we don't work every day with Google Maps, and I'm not sure Google Maps would update their maps every day for us on a project our size. It's huge for this community. It may not be huge in the whole scheme of the United States of projects that are taking place. But we do try through the website, through social media, Facebook and Twitter, working with our local media partners, and then, of course, RestoreSagamore.com, put as much information out there as possible. Even the police department helps us through Nextdoor. We're working very closely with our businesses along there, and I can tell you that I personally drive that route every day just to see how traffic's flowing, to see what we're doing and the progress that we're making. And I continue to do that. Our city engineer continues to do that. So if there are adjustments that we need to make, we can make those with our TID department and make sure that communication is taking place between the construction crews, the construction management crews, our local businesses, and any changes that we need to make. And so we're going to continue to do that because the last few times I've been through there, traffic is flowing pretty well. Of course, at rush hour, it's a little bit heavier, but we really do want people to, you know, go out there, support those businesses along Sagamore Parkway, get into the Dog and Suds, get into, you know, Bob Rorman, DeFowl's, the car dealerships, all the businesses along there, Steak and handshake. Support them through this. You know, as we talked about on the show last time a little bit, we've come up with a construction schedule that's got a little bit more pain in it right here at the beginning. But if it goes as planned and we get the rain to stop, we'll actually complete the project about 6 months quicker than we originally talked about just a few years ago. And so we just need everybody's patience, and please support those businesses out there. Get out there, maybe even a little bit more than you would normally go, just to help them out and help everybody get through this period.
Let me ask a couple more questions about road work. You mentioned the closure of the intersection of Sagamore and South Street, which is by volume, I think, the busiest intersection in the county on a yearly basis. And you've been talking about this on this program and lots of other places for a long time. I see that that's now been pushed back into about mid-July, that that's going to start. Is that accurate?
Yes. With that, with the gas mains that need to be moved and the permitting that the gas company needed to acquire from the railroads have not come through in a time frame that we would hope that they would have. And so they're behind on moving those gas mains at different locations. And the way that works, the sequencing of the job, some of that has to be done before we close that intersection and do the work that we need to do. So right now, we are still in a position where we're waiting on some of those utility relocations to take place. But we're finding other things to do to try to stay on schedule. But that could affect that closure at some point. I hope that's the last effect, but I'm not going to guarantee that. But we will keep everybody informed when that has to take place.
So the last we saw for that project, the estimate was just less than a month. I think about 28 working days, something like that. And if that doesn't get started until July 17th now, then we're talking that it's not going to get done until perhaps time when the students have already started returning to campus, and in some cases with their families, with large trucks full of equipment. How do you plan to mitigate the effects of that?
Well, if that is the case, and it may very well be, I'm not going to mix words with you or create any false expectations, that may very well be the case. But, you know, fortunately, we have the north end of Sagamore Parkway done. We have the south end of Sagamore Parkway done. And, of course, there's other routes into West Lafayette from 231 and then, of course, from North River Road off of 43. So we'll just have to work with Purdue to get the information out as best we can to those incoming students to let them know to avoid that area, because we'll still close it. We're not going to not close it because of that. That would throw the schedule way off. That would be more detrimental to those businesses in the long run. And if it runs into the time when the students are coming back, that closure still will take place. And we're going to get that work done. That window to do it, which still should be about the same, moving it back, we're not actually adding days to the amount of time that it will be closed, just that window that it'll be closed. But I won't change the date just to try to avoid that. And because if we do that, then I'd have to wait till that was totally done, all the students back. That pushes us back into the middle of August. So unless some other factor with the sequencing of the job that's beyond my control changes it, you know, we won't change it. Just that we'll just help route people around it, and it'll be a little bit inconvenient. We appreciate everybody's patience, but that in itself will not change the sequencing of the job.
Do you have any ability to work with, for instance, NDOT? Because NDOT's been putting up electronic signs along I-65 and things like that. Do you have any ability to work with NDOT to put up notices either on those electronic billboards or to put up physical signs that say, if you're going to Purdue, perhaps this is a better route to go if you're coming from, especially I-65, which I imagine is that's where those people are going to be, you know, inconvenienced, as people would get off at the State Road 26 exit and eventually hit that intersection and then have to find their way around.
Right, yeah, and we do have the ability to work with NDOT. They are actually very good to work with, and their new commissioner, Joe McGinnis, from Franklin, was actually a mayor and left his position as the mayor of Franklin to become the new commissioner of NDOT. And I have met with him now on a couple occasions and spoke with him. And they are very in tuned now, even at a higher level than they have been in the past, on working with local communities, and that local communities matter, that Main Street's important. And you and I talked a little bit about that.
We did.
Before. But Joe really I've met with him since then, and he really believes that. And so we would be able to work with them. And obviously, if we can get people on 65 that's coming from the north to get off at North River Road there at 43 and avoid 26, or people come from the south to get off at 38, which is a good road, gets you right, you know, right in through town also. You know, we can't avoid that. They should be able to avoid that intersection. We just got to get that information out and get them educated.
One of the road projects I wanted to ask you about that people have been asking me about is the ramp off the Harrison Bridge onto 3rd Street to take you into downtown Lafayette. That's been closed for a few weeks now. Any idea when that might reopen?
I met with staff yesterday, the city engineer and the wastewater superintendent, and we're hoping to have that open before Memorial Day. That will get 3rd Street all buttoned up. The pipe is in. The structures are in. The work that has to be done, the closure, and it's a little bit hard probably for people to envision, but the size of that equipment that we're using and the size of those pipe pieces that we're using, it's so massive. It takes about a 3 to 4 block logistics chain train with the dump trucks and the soils and removing the soils and the digging equipment and the pipe setting equipment. So we've actually got to get probably a little bit further down the road than people might initially realize before we open up a piece behind it and before. And they're probably wondering, well, why is it closed so many blocks down? If you stand there and watch it, it begins to make sense. But based on where we're at right now, putting the pipe in the ground and the water main relocation is complete. I mean, we got slowed down just a little bit with the rain. I mean, basically, we have to pump out those holes every day. But I talked to Brad yesterday, and he was convinced that before Memorial Day weekend, we would have 3rd Street back open and a good route back into downtown.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. You can call in your questions. The phone number, 765-496-1999. You can email questions to ask@WBAA.org and tweet them at us on Twitter, @WBAA News. We've been talking a lot with the folks here in West Lafayette about the what they call the Big Car Collaborative, which is a company that's helping the cities of Lafayette and West Lafayette try to help some of the businesses out that are being imperiled, was the word that John Dennis used on our program last week, by the road construction. And what's happening is that over the course of 16 weeks, starting in late summer and lasting into the fall, people are going to be brought in to do these demonstrations and try to bring people to areas where businesses might benefit from having more foot traffic. And so what West Lafayette's doing is trying to create eventually a couple of new plazas. But you guys are using Reilly Plaza and the Farmers Market to have some of these. And that was interesting to me, because where West Lafayette is trying to bring people into spaces that were formerly streets that they're now trying to make these pedestrian walkways, you guys are bringing people into large gathering spots where people already go with regularity. And I was interested in what your rationale was behind that.
Well, certainly there is two different thought processes there with the same goal in mind, actually. West Lafayette's State Street project is going kind of right through the heart of campus and through those businesses right now. And it's going to be dramatically different when it's completed. I mean, I couldn't do a Big Car Collaborative out on Sagamore Parkway, right? It's not going to work for a construction site like that. So what we're trying to do is activate spaces in downtown in a different way than maybe we activate them right now, and activate those spaces with different activities to bring people downtown and maybe different people downtown that hasn't experienced downtown yet. You know, as we went through Streetscape and we're finishing up with Streetscape, we worked very hard on how we marketed that project, how we helped business with their marketing, how we helped with communications, and everything that we could do to get people through that process. And now that it's done, you know, it's, again, we need to re-engage, one, that people maybe that stopped coming downtown for a little bit, and to get new people downtown. And so we think by using Big Car, and I met with the gentleman myself personally because I really wanted to hear, you know, what his thought process was. And I got to tell you, I was impressed. When he talked about arts and he talked about space activation, I was really impressed with the knowledge that he had, the work that he had done in Indianapolis. But not only that, he really had a good business mind. He understood what businesses in downtown go through, how you get try to get people to downtown and get them to actually participate in the activities, but maybe go in the stores and actually spend money and buy products and get people engaged with the businesses. And we think that that's a very important piece now that Streetscape is done and well, a few little punch list items yet to do, but very close to being done. How do we engage people in a new way? How do we engage different people? How do maybe we engage with the businesses a little bit differently to get them engaged with the people that are coming to downtown? And, you know, I've got high hopes that this is going to work. So we're doing it a little bit differently, but the idea is still the same. How do you make the community, your downtown, State Street, more, you know, friendly to people, more welcoming, give people a reason to come down and participate if they don't have a reason now, if they love downtown and they want to do something new that they haven't done for a while. And yeah, right, some of those are going to be in the same spaces, looking at Reilly Plaza, Farmers Market. I've even suggested the Chase Bank Plaza. Now that it's redone, maybe that would be a good space to activate, and told our staff to continue to be creative on where we activate spaces and how we activate them to really draw a whole different group of people to downtown again. But again, it's all about helping businesses. It's about quality of life, place of choice, and activating spaces for the community.
So, I mean, is this something of an admission that the downtown businesses through the Main Street, Streetscape, and things like that have lost some customers and you need to get them back?
Well, I don't think it's an admission of that. I think we can always, whether it's a downtown business, whether it's the mall, whether it's any business downtown, you have to continually do things to bring people to those businesses, bring people to that area. You have to continually be looking forward. You know, what are people looking for? What are people's patterns? And I think the big car is going to give us another set of eyes to help evaluate what we're doing, what the businesses are doing, how we're bringing people downtown, and bring a perspective that they might have. And I think that's always positive. And if you don't do that, if you don't continually change, if you don't continually look at new ideas, if you don't push the boundaries a little bit, and we're doing that with our art. We started that with our small spaces project, and I think we're going to continue to do that. And I think that's the only way you stay ahead of the game. You know, if you want to say, well, did some people lose some business during Streetscape? That's probably an accurate statement. But on the flip side, I would say if we didn't do Streetscape and downtown sidewalks deteriorated, there was no nice art downtown, there was not any of the new outdoor seating that we have now at the Lafayette Brewing Company, that we're going to expand that down at 501 Bistro and a couple other places, I would submit to you that downtown would have died even worse, a slow death over time, because people are not going to come where it's not inviting, where there aren't these types of new opportunities. They want those amenities. They want that activity. They want those nice sidewalks. They want those art. They want the like the work we did on the Long Center, the $2 million worth of work on it, so it will be there for generations to come. The work that we did on the parking garage, I mean, all of that matters. So, I mean, it's easy to say, well, you had construction, so people lost business. I would submit if you don't do that construction and you don't continue to make those improvements in your infrastructure and the experience that people can have in your community, you're going to lose people, you're going to lose business. And I think because we do that, you probably saw a couple weeks ago that Lafayette and West Lafayette was touted as the fastest growing area in Indiana.
So you've got the mosey down Main Street set up coming back this summer. And I wonder, do you have any way to gauge participation or economic development or number of people, even just attendance, pure attendance at that event, and use those metrics as a way to tell you where you need to funnel more people, where people are engaging, whether there are spots that are in need of more help than others, as a way to decide where you want to, as you say, activate the population?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. I mean, Mosey's, serve a wonderful purpose, and when they first started, it really brought an entire new group of people to downtown. And there are certain businesses on the night of Mosey's that just do fantastic. It probably doesn't do quite as much for some of the retail businesses, but the restaurants and some of those things do great. And so I think as we look at that, and we do meet with people and downtown business owners and the friends of downtown to make those evaluations. And I think that's one of the reasons that you're seeing us work with Big Car is to how do we activate downtown and bring people down in a little bit different way than the Mosey does. Because you're right, the Mosey doesn't fill every gap and need for every business downtown. And that's what Big Car Collaborative is looking at. How do we activate things in a different way? You know, we recently just mailed out a survey through Greater Lafayette Commerce to downtown business owners to get feedback from them on what they would like to see and ask them some questions about their business. And so we're working on gathering that data back and that feedback. We're looking at the downtown festivals. You know, last year we reevaluated how we did some of that and we brought in the group Kansas. You know, we're looking at all kinds of different things constantly on evaluating because not every downtown business is the same. Retail is obviously different than, you know, the bars and the restaurants. Art is different than different opportunities. And so we're going to continue to evaluate those and see what works and keep doing it.
We've got just a few minutes left with Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski on Ask the Mayor today here on WBAA. Call in questions at 496-1999. Send an email to ask@wbaa.org. We talked on last month's program about a meeting the city was planning to talk about panhandling. And some people have come to me since that meeting, including a couple of people I know who are involved with downtown businesses and said that they think that the incidence of what you talked about, which was these kind of organized panhandling rings of people, has decreased a little bit. And I wonder if that is A, something that you've seen, and B, whether the plan in part was to just shine some light on this if it was in fact happening and put public pressure on those people if they did exist to vamoose.
Well, I mean, it's a complicated issue. So I think, you know, there's several parts to your question there. One, we want to continue to educate the public because we need their help by simply giving out money. That simply exasperates the problem, and we certainly don't want to do that. So we want to educate the public to help be our eyes and ears and to help us with the issue. We also want the public's help in getting information to folks that might be panhandling that really do need help and helping us make contact with them so we can truly get them into the services that they need. I mean, this community is so generous and so kind. There are so many social service agencies, so many opportunities. We have millions of dollars in grant money right now to help train people to work. There are help wanted signs all over. We have the ability, if people want to work with us, to help some of these people really improve their life, get new opportunities, have a chance for a new life. If it's folks that's suffering from mental illness, we can try to help get them into services with our PATH team and some of our other partners. So we really want the public to help us on both ways. And then, yeah, I mean, do we want to shine some light on? Absolutely, because if it is a organized ring and those people are being aggressive, and to me, that's criminal. And we're not going to tolerate that. And we do want the public helping us report that, identifying those people, so we can take the necessary action, and we will take action to get that stopped. And so I think it's, you know, you approach this from a variety of ways to make the community better. But I do think the approach that we're doing, we had a panhandling meeting even last year. This isn't our first one. And I think over time, we are making an improvement of that. And of course, the last big incident where we had people at Payless and stuff, it's obvious that's people that were working together. And we did want to shed the light on that and wanted people to know that's not going to be tolerated here.
Let's spend our last couple of minutes on a trip that you recently took with John Dennis and with Tom Murtaugh. You guys went to Japan, and I wanted to know what you're bringing back to Lafayette, whether it's new investment, whether it's new ideas. What did you come back with from that trip?
Well, I mean, I think there's first and foremost, I've been over there three times, and this, in my mind, was our most productive and the best trip we had. We were able to meet with the top leadership of Subaru and then have a private dinner with that leadership also. We were able to meet with Toyota Tosho, Sano, Shigeru, which is Heartland Automotive. And it was some of the best meetings that I recall us ever having, that dialogue that we had looking to the future. But also because you know, now that I've been able to do this for a while, and it is my third trip, you know, in the Japanese business culture, that personal relationship is just as important as that business relationship. And so for them to want to continue to do that business, it's very important that they feel comfortable on a personal level. And I really felt some of those folks I've met, you know, three times now, and they've been over here, that we have really built that strong personal level. And with our sister city in Oda, Mayor Shimizu, I've been the mayor for 14 years. He's been the mayor for 22 years. So we have a long tenure together. We're very comfortable. And I think that is very important. And I think that bodes well for them to continue to look at this community for opportunities to grow and expand, knowing that that personal and business relationship is here. They're all very pleased with the business environment that we've created.
Well, let me ask you about that for a second, because what I have heard, and having never been to Japan myself, but I've heard that in a lot of Eastern cultures, they want that personal connection that you're talking about. And in some ways, they want a physical, personal show of gratitude. They want you to go over and shake their hands and say, thank you for coming to our community and investing. And so some part of the visits, it's necessary to just do maintenance on that personal relationship and show them that personal gratitude. Do you feel that way?
I mean, it is, and that's all part of it. But I will say, because the Subaru plant has been here for a while, you know, they just celebrated their 30-year anniversary. You know, I'm actually seeing now people that worked at the plant are working back in Japan. They've been over here a lot. We've been over there. We exchange students. It really is a mutual benefit and relationship now, where we appreciate each other. They very, very much appreciate what Lafayette, West Lafayette, and Tippecanoe County has done for the plant, how we work with them on infrastructure and incentives. I feel that we are in a very, very strong position. Both sides are all in always on this relationship.
So let me ask you one last question here in just our last minute or two. I wonder if the business leaders in Asia understand what a hard time Indiana is having finding enough skilled laborers to work at places like Nanshan and SIA. And even if you can find people who you can qualify to work in those, we keep hearing from lots of people that the so-called soft skills that keep people coming back to work on a day-to-day basis are also a problem. Do they talk to you about that? Do they express concern?
Yeah, they do, and it's ironic. They talk to us about workforce development, and we talk to them about what we're doing, and they're very pleased. We've talked to them about our relationship with Purdue, Ivy Tech, the new vocational tech high school that's being developed. The interesting thing is they're facing the exact same thing in Japan. They are actually allowing immigration now into Japan from certain countries to bring in workers, because they cannot find enough skilled workforce in Japan also. And as we talk to people, it's a global situation. It's not just in the United States. There are many places are facing this, but we talk with the mayor about that. We talk with the other companies about that. And we talked about what's happening here in the United States and the fact that Japan is actually now letting immigrants in from certain countries to help with their workforce shortage also. So there's a lot of common ground there, and it generated some very positive, good conversations on how we can all work together to meet those challenges.
All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time. We appreciate it.
And thanks, Dan.
We should point out we're actually swapping weeks with you and Mayor Dennis, I think, next month because of schedules. So we'll see you even sooner than
okay.
We normally would.
All right. Thank you.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember that we've got our conversation at this time next week with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. Send emails in advance of that program to ask@WBAA.org. And you can always find these shows archived at our website, WBAA.org. Just go to the Ask the Mayor page. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.